The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. When the eastern horizon begins to grow pink, you know that the night is ending and morning is at hand. The day is beginning. When armistices are signed, such as in World War I, World War II, you know that the time of conflict, the time of warfare, has ended, and a time of peace is beginning. Life is full of endings and beginnings. One day, that little baby grows up, and it no longer crawls around or toddles around. That baby has grown to the point where he or she can run and leap, and they no longer need diapers changed. They are able to take care of themselves. One phase of life has ended, another phase of life has begun. When you got married, your single state came to an end, and your life as someone united to husband or wife had begun. When a woman is with child and the labor pains come upon her, her pregnancy is coming to an end, and soon a new life will begin. Well, it began at conception, but a new life began, a life that can be held and kissed and hugged and nursed and changed. Endings and beginnings. And today's gospel reading reminds us of this. Today's gospel reading, you could say, is about two endings. First, the end of the temple in Jerusalem, and second, the end of the age, the end of the world, the end of our time in this prison house of sin and death and temptation and sorrow and suffering and loss. The end of the temple is spoken of first in today's gospel. People were talking about the temple, how wonderful it was, how beautiful it was. Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem for the Passover, his final Passover, during which he would be offered up on the cross as the final sacrifice for sin. He would be the complete sacrifice, and the Jewish sacrificial system would, for all intents and purposes, come to an end because the beginning had come in Christ, the beginning of full freedom from sin. The beginning of full freedom from death as he arose again. The beginning of the proclamation of the good news that in Christ Jesus, God has reconciled the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against him, against us rather. So some are speaking of the temple. They're talking about its magnificence, its beauty, its splendor. And Jesus comes up with a real downer. As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. In other words, the temple was going to be destroyed. In fact, Jerusalem would be destroyed some 40 years after Jesus spoke these words. And we can go back in time and imagine what a great shock that must have been to the disciples and anyone within in hearing of Jesus. Certainly the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the temple leadership were shocked and appalled by his words. And this was one of the accusations they brought against Jesus when they were plotting to have him crucified. But how about us? Do we really comprehend that all these things that we see around us will one day not be here. And this pulpit I'm preaching from, the walls of this sanctuary, the roof that stands above us, the cross behind the altar, the crucifix on the altar, these things are not eternal. They will come to an end, just as one day the house you live in will be burnt up or torn down or destroyed by a tornado. The car you drive will rust away or be demolished in an automobile accident and turned over to the junkyard and be melted down. Your very body that you looked at in the mirror as you got prepared to come to church, all these things that you see will one day not be left here. The disciples asked Jesus, "Teacher, when will these things that you speak of come to pass? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" They asked Jesus two questions, and he gave them two distinct answers. First, he talked about the destruction of the temple, which is a reminder of the coming end of the age, when the elements of the universe will be burnt up with fire, and God will bring forth a new creation. So Jesus warns his disciples, and his warning is not just to his disciples. It is a warning to us who are so easily distracted, so easily deceived, so easily led away from the truth. We are to abide in Christ's word. We are to abide in the doctrines of the church. We are to abide in the creeds that we confess, because otherwise we will certainly shift away from these and our salvation will be imperiled. So Jesus warns us, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, many false messiahs, saying, 'I am he, I'm the one you've been waiting for.'" And again, false messiahs have abounded since the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they are out there today. Also, many will come saying, "The time is at hand, the time of the end. It's coming. It's going to be next April 14th. You better be prepared, but the good thing is you won't have to pay your income taxes." Jesus warns us, do not go after them. Do not believe them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, don't be terrified, for these things must first take place, because we live in a fallen world. There is conflict in this fallen world because we are sinners and we can't get along no matter how hard we try. Don't be terrified when you see these happenings, because the end will not come at once, but do not be terrified first and foremost, because in me, Jesus would say, you have the forgiveness of all of your sins. In me, the one who has carried your sins away on the cross, you have reconciliation with God. In me, you have life eternal. So don't be terrified. The end will not be at once. And then Jesus describes the course of human history. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences. There will be typhoons and hurricanes, tornadoes. But for all this, they will lay their hands on you, Jesus tells his disciples, and they will persecute you. They will deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my namesake. You are going to suffer, Jesus tells his disciples. You will be hated by all people on account of me. And when that happens, don't run around. Ah! No, this will be your opportunity, your God-given opportunity to bear witness about me, to proclaim my saving works through my holy life and my death on the cross on behalf of all, and my resurrection from the dead on the third day. In these very perilous circumstances, these dreadful circumstances you find yourself in, this is the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of forgiveness. Jesus promises to stand by his people in those circumstances. He promises to stand by us, even though we're delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And that did not just happen in the days of the disciples, in the first generation of Christians or the second generation. It's happening in the world today. It's happening in Islamic countries. It's happening in third world countries. Christians are suffering persecution for their faith in Christ. Some of them are imprisoned. Some of them have been put to death. And some of them are hated for the sake of the name of Jesus. But Jesus says, in the light of things, the light of eternity, not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, your steadfastness in the faith, you will gain your lives. Then Jesus focuses again on the temple, how Jerusalem is going to be surrounded by armies, and it was in the Roman siege against Jerusalem in 70 AD. There was going to be great distress upon the earth, wrath against the people because the Messiah had come and they had rejected him. Jerusalem would be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. Jewish women who were pregnant would suffer because they could not flee. And what a horrible time it was. But this is a picture of the end of the age. When there will be signs in sun and moon and stars on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding on what is coming on the world. For the very powers of heaven will be shaken, and then they, the whole world, and then they, even those who don't believe in Christ and trust in him, as Redeemer and Savior, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, the cloud of God's majesty. For he himself is none other than God made man. And in the midst of these things, when creation seems to be falling apart, when your life is imperiled, when you yourself are coming to the very end of your days. Stand up, Jesus says. Raise your heads in confidence because your final redemption is drawing near. The end of the age is the beginning of a new eternal age. The end of your earthly life is the beginning of a life lived in the very presence of God, when sin and sorrow and death will touch you no more. The end is the beginning of the good things of God which he has prepared for you through the death and resurrection of his Son. And we are here today to be prepared through the hearing of the gospel and the reception of the gifts of the gospel for that end. And we are also here being prepared through the grace of God in Christ Jesus for the beginning of our true life with God. Today, as always, we celebrate the sacrament of the altar. And I would like you today to think of the sacrament in this way. As you come to the sacrament to receive Jesus' body and blood, there is a certain ending for you. You eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. You are washed and made new through the reception of Jesus' body and blood. And there is the beginning of a new life, of a newly forgiven child of God. As you come to the sacrament today, approach it as though you were nearing the end of your earthly life, as though all the things around you you would see no more. And leave the sacrament as though you were beginning that new heavenly life with God. As you come and receive the sacrament today, come in repentance. Come seeking the Spirit's help in putting an end to your innate selfishness, to your short-visioned focus upon this world. And then depart from the sacrament, beginning a new life as a child and servant of God, as one called by God to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when you leave this service at its end, you leave as one who has heard the gospel proclaimed, the gospel of forgiveness applied to you for all of your sins. You leave this place as one who has been baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. You leave this place as one whose sins are absolved. You leave this place as one who has been privileged to be fed and to drink Christ's body and Christ's blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And as you leave this place, no matter what lies before you in the week ahead, you leave prepared for that beginning of your eternal life in the heavenly presence of God, awaiting the resurrection of the body when the ultimate beginning of all things will take place. This is the promise of the gospel for you, so do not fear life's ends, because in God, in Christ Jesus, in His Son, there is always a new beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Savior.